Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we return today to the new brochure, The Mighty Deeds of God. Whenever I'm writing a brochure, there's always a reason behind it. So thinking about this brochure, I'm concerned that there are people in the world who think that when they leave this world, they're going to be with God. And some of them are right because they're thinking in line with the Bible, but other ones, they're presuming something that isn't true. Consider this passage I shared with you last week here in Proverbs 14. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Imagine how sad that will be for people who are moving through life and they have all these things in mind and they're like, okay, I think because of this and this and this, I think everything is lined up here. I think it's all going to be okay. I think God is going to welcome me into heaven when the time comes. And then imagine them hearing on the last day from Jesus, I never knew you, depart from me. I'm concerned that that's going to happen. And if you look in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us that exact thing is going to happen. And we're not talking here about people who are living evil lives. We are talking about people who are living on the outside. They are living extraordinary Christian lives, much more extraordinary than my life. And yet Jesus is going to say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. This is such a serious matter that I felt like I wanted to do something on this topic. Well, this is part two of the brochure, so I'm going to give you a quick review on what we've done so far, get into some new information, and go ahead and conclude the brochure today. So regarding the title, The Mighty Deeds of God, that takes us back to earlier this year on the day of Pentecost. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and we have the apostles of Jesus speaking in other languages, now they're speaking in known languages, but languages that they did not know, that they had not learned, that was the miracle. They were speaking in these other languages, but the question is, what were they speaking? The Bible tells us they were speaking the mighty deeds of God. So thus the title of the brochure, The Mighty Deeds of God. Now the hard part is, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what they said. So I have to kind of make that up a little bit, but that's the rest of the brochure. So thinking about that, I put together this business-sized card called Mighty Deeds of God. And all of you got a copy of it last week. There are many more copies out on the table there. But the contents of the card are trying to catch people's attention and draw them in. It's only giving a limited amount of information, but hopefully it will draw them in to want to find out more. You can take a look at the card on your own. So getting into the mighty deeds of God, what are they? Well, we started off with the topic of creation. I mean, think about the world in which we live. The Bible says that God spoke it into existence, and God is continuing to sustain the world in which we live. So what could we say? You and I are living in the middle of an ongoing miracle. When we know what the Bible says, we can see that God wants us to know how mighty He is, and yet there are plenty of people who are missing it. Coming to God's power, that's also, in a sense, another mighty deed of God, or it's how He did all the mighty deeds. Now, when I think about the brochure, I had an idea the other day, and I'm like, oh, I could have done that, but I didn't. Now, I could have gone and said, look at all these amazing miracles God did. That's pointing to His mighty deeds. But I want to get to the point, though, where people can have salvation. So we're not going to go into a bunch of the miracles. But here, though, in Romans 1, it tells us that people who are living in the midst of this ongoing creation miracle, and yet they don't recognize the awesome God who created it and sustained it. The Bible says that when the end comes for those people, there is going to be absolutely no excuse as to why they did not recognize that God had done it and God is sustaining it. Think about the simplest thing. Like if I eat a banana, I'm like, how did that all get together? We have like the banana, you have a way to hold on to it, you can peel it down, you can eat it, or you look at like an orange, for example, and it's all divided up into bite-sized pieces. I mean, there's all kinds of things like that in the world in which we live, and oh, that just happened by random chance. No, there's an awesome God who did it and sustains it. Let's see God in all these different ways. Then we talked about God's knowledge, thinking about what David said to his son Solomon shortly before David died. He said that the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. So God not only knows what we are thinking, but he knows why we are thinking it. Nothing is hidden from God. For all the world, nothing is hidden. Think about nothing being hidden. God knows the good, but he also knows the bad and the ugly that's going on in each of our minds, in each of our hearts. And yet amazingly, he desires to save every one of us and every single person in the whole world. Wow, God is such a God of love. God doesn't love us because we are lovable. God loves us because, as the Bible says, God is love. It's his love that moved him to save us, not that we are lovable. That's where we ended up last time. Then I wanted to go on to this topic of righteousness. Think about it like this. If you've ever been to a big sporting event, let's say maybe like the World Series or the Super Bowl. Has anyone ever been to any of those big events? Did I see your hand up, Heather? Oh, you went to a World Series. Okay. Thinking about an event like that, so you're excited to go, you get the tickets, you drive into the parking lot, you're getting out of your car, and somehow in the excitement of the whole thing, you drop the tickets in the parking lot. So now you get to the gate, and you're like frantic trying to find the tickets, and you're trying to explain to the ticket taker that I had the tickets, I bought them online, I'm in this section, and you're like going through the whole thing. Are they going to let you in because you can explain all of that? No, you have to have that ticket to get into that important event. Going into heaven is even more important. And the Bible is telling us we have to have, in a sense, we have to have a ticket, and our ticket is righteousness. So it's not a tangible ticket, but it's a reality that we have to have. We can't produce it on our own. God has to give it to us. Notice what the verse says. God the Father made God the Son who knew no sin. So when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he knew no sin. But notice what it goes on to say, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf. So while he was on the cross, God the Father took the sins of the world and put them on Jesus. To be sin on our behalf, why? That we might become the righteousness of God in him. In Christ. So when we have Christ, we have the ticket of righteousness. The Bible says so simply there in 1 John 5, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Why is that? Because when we have him, we have the righteousness that we need. When we don't have him, when we think that somehow we can get in without him, then we don't have the righteousness that we need. That's like being at the gate without a ticket. You're not going to get in. So this righteousness, though, how do we get that? Well, the Holy Spirit has to work within us and show us our helplessness, our total helplessness. Why are we helpless? because we cannot make ourselves righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? That means to be perfectly right. That means to be as holy as God. We cannot do it. So God is saying, realize that what God is requiring is impossible. Stop trusting in yourself. The Holy Spirit works that within us. And then the Holy Spirit shows us who Jesus is, what he did. The Holy Spirit gives us a gift of faith by which we are trusting in him. And as we have God-given faith in him, what comes back to us? That is the righteousness. That's the thing we need to be with God forever. Well, going on here then, I have one final passage I want to share with you today, and that's in Acts 17. But you can see the image, though, of Athens, Greece, and that's a picture of Mars Hill there in the middle of the city. So up on the top of the hill, a lot of theological discussion many years ago took place there up on Mars Hill, and that is where Paul ended up giving his famous sermon that we find in Acts chapter 17, where Paul is telling people up there on that hill, worshiping all these false gods. They have the one inscription to the unknown God. Paul says, let me tell you about the unknown God. By the way, guys, he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And then he goes on to tell like the greatness of the unknown God, not unknown to us, but unknown to those people back then up on Mars Hill. Well, coming toward the end of the sermon then, what did Paul say? He said, talking about God, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all people that all everywhere should repent. So that becomes the key thing. When we think about people being in heaven, the repentant ones will be with God forever. The unrepentant ones will be apart from God forever. If you boil the whole thing down, that's what it comes down to. Well, so the repentant ones, hey, they have righteousness. The unrepentant ones, they don't have righteousness. The repentant ones, they have Christ. The unrepentant ones, they don't have Christ. So we can say it in a number of different ways, but it all comes down to whether or not we are repentant. I hope that every one of us is living in ongoing repentance. So we keep being sorry for our sins. We keep being aware that we cannot save ourselves. We keep knowing who Jesus is, and we keep clinging to him alone by faith. And as we continue in that way, when the time comes, hey, God's going to welcome us to be with him forever. That is the way to go through our lives. But here, though, Paul is calling them to repent, and then he goes on to say, in other words, why should they do that? Because God has fixed a day. God has fixed a day. So this might be the only place in the Bible, or it's the one I always think of when we think, has the final day of the world been set? It's not as if God is saying, well, okay, we have a new day. Should I send my son back or should I wait till tomorrow? No, there's no indecision with God. The day has been set. Notice, God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. God the Father is not the ultimate judge. God the Son will be the ultimate judge, our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the judgment? Is he going to look at each person and say, are you good enough or not? No, it's not. He's not looking at our sin. He's not looking at the good things we have done. He's only looking at, are you in a right relationship with me? In other words, are you repentant? Have you given up on yourself? Are you trusting in me alone as your Savior? And for everyone who is that way, and Jesus won't have to ask any questions, he knows every heart, so he's going to, with every person, he's going to say innocent to those who died in repentance. And for those who died without repentance, he's going to say, I never knew you, depart from me. It's going to be the saddest thing. Repentance is so important. Jesus is going to do it. And why should people know for certain that that's the case? Notice what it says here. Paul said, having furnished proof to everyone by raising him from the dead. I want you to think about your family and friends for a moment. Do you have anyone currently or years ago and that person ended up passing away? Now, I'm not talking here about a near-death experience. Passing away, they were dead for at least a few days, but now they're living again. Like, do you have anyone like you know about like that? Okay, so this just doesn't happen, does it? But that happened to Jesus, though. Like, there were so many witnesses that saw him die, they put the spear into him. Blood and water came out, indicating that already he was dead because his blood had separated. They took him off the cross, they put him in the tomb, and it looked like it was all over forever. Like, people die and that's it. But it wasn't, though. On the third day, God the Father raised him back to life. He showed himself alive to many people. Hundreds of people saw him alive. So God wants us to know that a very unique thing happened with Jesus actually dying and then being brought back to life again. And because that happened, we should be certain that the end of the world has been set, that Jesus will be the judge, and if people are repentant, they will be welcomed in. If they are unrepentant, they will be sent away. It all should be crystal clear. Let me conclude like this. Why were the mighty deeds of God spoken? God wants all people to be open to the Bible, to see the error of their ways, to turn from their sins, to trust in Jesus for eternal life, to go forward to live a God-honoring life. I hope those five things are true for every one of us. So very important. And then, a little bit more personally here, what is your situation? Well, I want to ask you four things here. First of all, when it comes to the Bible, are you serious about the Bible? If you're serious about it, that means you're going to read it, and not just read it, but you're going to think about it, not just think about it, but you're going to believe it, and not just believe it, but you're going to live it out in your life. I hope that's your situation. If it isn't, I challenge you to use the daily devotion brochure, follow what it says, and God will richly bless you through his word. What about on the topic of goodness? The question here, are you good enough to be welcomed into heaven? If you said yes, I want you to know that's a bad thing. If you said yes, that's a bad thing. So I'm encouraging you to read this brochure, What is the Way to Heaven? I talk in here how the way to heaven, is it by faith alone, or is it by faith plus works? Faith plus works, that is kind of logical. Oh, Jesus did something, I do something, we add it together, that makes sense, God will let me in. I was there for a long time, that's what I thought. It made so much sense to me, but it does not agree with the Bible. Do not believe in faith plus works. If you want to know more, take a look at that brochure. What about on the topic of faith? Do you have faith in Jesus for eternal life? See, faith always has an object. It has to be in something. So is your faith in Jesus? Now, what is the reason that you have faith in Jesus? Is it for eternal life? All those things are important. If you said no to that, I encourage you to read this brochure here. So it's entitled, Why is Faith in Jesus the Ticket to Heaven? So back to the ticket again. Hey, there's a ticket right there on the front too. So if you don't have your ticket already, get this one. This is one of my favorite brochures, because if you look real quick on the inside here, you can see all these things in yellow. Then on the back, these are all my favorite passages on telling us so clearly in the Bible, faith alone is the way to heaven. Faith alone. And then, what about church? Do you faithfully attend? Well, if you said yes, great. If not, I encourage you to read this brochure here, Why Gather Each Week. In this brochure, I've laid out 10 different reasons why we should come each week. God wants to shower us with these blessings, and yet a lot of times people, they must be at home thinking, well, I don't really want those blessings there. I'm going to do this instead. Well, God doesn't want us to think like that. He wants us to know that he has great things for us, and he's compelling us to come and receive. If you're looking for more brochures, I certainly have them. So a few more here real quick. This is such an important one. The question is, will Jesus welcome me into heaven? Every single person in the world should be reading this. Now, this is the only brochure that opens up like this on the inside, but it has those two key equations. Is the way to heaven faith plus works equals heaven, or down here, faith equals heaven? Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about saying, oh, I believe and I can do anything I want and I'm going to heaven. No, not at all. When we have faith, that means that we are united to Jesus. That means that we are sorry for our sins. That means that we are thankful that we have the gift of heaven through him. And that means that now, out of our thankfulness, we want to seek to honor him as much as we can in our lives. That's what faith alone is. But this brochure is an important one on that topic. Another important one is this one here called Myth or the Truth. So I have some myths in here, but there is a lot of truth that God wants us to know about as well. And then the final one here I wanted to mention today, God's awesome work to rescue us. So this one here, I think maybe I preached a three-part sermon series on this brochure maybe 6 or 8 years ago, but it goes through kind of the whole process all the way from what the Bible is and all these different things in between, all the way to being in Christ, how to live the Christian life, and so on. So there's a lot packed into this brochure, but the way this is set up though, with each section, what I'm trying to say is, if you don't quite get it, don't go on. Look at it again, think about it, pray about it, ask me what it's about, because as you truly get each part, then you're going to eternally benefit. Those brochures are all available in the back. If anyone has any questions, you can always ask me. You can ask me in person. You can email me. You can text me. You can call me. So that's always available. You can go to our church website. So many different things available on the website. So you get the latest things right there visible on the home page. But if you go to the sermon tab, to the studies tab, or the brochure tab, there are literally hundreds, if not even like 1,000 different items there that you can tap into and benefit from. Finally, I want you to share the cards. So some card sharing ideas would be, like I said last week, you could leave a nice restaurant tip, leave the Mighty Deeds card with that tip. You could, if you're sending any kind of a greeting card, why not drop a card in there? Now, you might be sending it to a person who is not online, but is there a possibility, though, that if that person got it and they looked at it and they're like, I don't even know what that means, they might give it to their grandchild. And maybe the grandchild will go online and find out about the mighty deeds of God, as well as a whole bunch of other important stuff. So it's kind of like fishing. You put them out there and you see what God does with them. It's good to share these cards with family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. Be creative. I wanted to share what Michael Browning did last week. You can see what he did there. He took the card in his hand, took a picture, turned it over, took a picture, and then he put a beautiful post on Facebook about our church. So it's a very simple thing. You don't have to even talk with anyone. Put it out there, and we don't know what God will do with that. But thanks so much, Michael. I know Michael is there in the back. But thanks so much for doing that. I appreciate it. So that is the idea of being creative right there. I wouldn't have even thought about that, but Michael did it. In the back today, we have a number of cards that are available, and we have some card holders that are available. They're on the table there in the back, along with all these different brochures. So what I'm inviting you to do is either get things that will benefit you, or get things that you can stock up on so you have things that will benefit others. So some of the cards that are out there, we have this card that's promoting our teaching ministry here at Bethlehem. We have our regular church card that has information that people can find out about who we are and when we gather and so on. Here's the Mighty Deeds of God card that I'm really talking about today with the brochure. I have this card on what is the way to heaven. So that goes with the one brochure that I mentioned. So this is a real summary of the brochure, but there's really enough information on this card that people could know the true way to heaven. We also have a card out there called Forgiveness Through Jesus. And then we have the question, how? I've heard people say that, oh, I think the way to heaven is through Jesus, and somehow we need forgiveness and we get it through him, but I don't know how that happens. Well, this card will point you in that direction. This card also connects to a brochure. You can get that brochure on our church website. And then this one here is also out there. Is heaven open for me? So I want people to read that question and be asking that question to themselves. And then hopefully they would say, oh, I wonder if it is open for me. And then they can take the card. Now, all these big cards, they fold in half, but I didn't want to fold it. But anyway, though, it has enough information on there to help people know whether heaven is open for them or not. And it gives enough information that if they're concerned, they can get the help that they need. I think that's enough on the brochure, The Mighty Deeds of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for your great love for us in sending your son. We thank you for all these resources you blessed us with here at Bethlehem. We pray that they would be glorifying to you. Help us to benefit from them personally. Help us to identify people who then could benefit from them too. And may you move us with your love, grant us guidance, grant us boldness, that we would care about other people so much that we would give them maybe the appropriate card or the appropriate brochure, and we pray that they would read it, that the Holy Spirit would be at work. We pray that people would be brought to repentance. And in some cases, we pray that people would even come here to find out more and be with us and be united with us and grow up with us in your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.